we looked at this scripture, Hebrews 10:7. You know, behold, I have come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. And that was Jesus talking, or prophetically about Jesus. But we can say the same. When we come, behold, which means to look, we can see that we have a scroll, and it's written of us in that scroll. And it's to do his will. So that's the purpose of engaging, is to do his will. And he writes those things on our heart, and he unveils those things in our mind so that we know what they are, so that we can actually begin to be drawn. Because our heart's desires need to lead us to things. If they're not in our heart, then we'll find it really difficult to persevere, to go through things. Because a lot of things are good ideas, and we start off with great enthusiasm, but often we run out of steam because they're not actually deep desires of our heart. But you can create the desires of your heart, and that's what we'll have a look at. So when we begin to frame our world from whatever we received every day, so let's say we've got a mandate, we may have a general mandate, which is what we're authorized to do as part of our who we are, our identity, our destiny, and we'll always have that. We'll always know there is the general who I am and what I'm called to do. And so sometimes when we get to our mountain, that just comes out and we get directed. But there are some specific things every day that we need to get directions for. So we are then representing the government of God, the four faces on the earth, from heaven, because it must be as it is in heaven first. So we act as kings and priests. We speak prophetically and administer apostolically. That's what we do. So what we said was we look into the presence of God, into his glory. We begin to see his will and purpose for our lives. We resonate, align ourselves with that, come into agreement with it, so that we're then flowing in that, and our desires, our heart's desires, draw us towards it. So his will and our destiny is the desire that we want to fulfill. So we receive our mandate, then our authorization. And a lot of these words, I know sometimes are like, well, what do you want about mandate, scrolls, destiny, purpose, all this stuff? But, you know, it's just an authorization. You are authorized to do something. You have been given a directive from God that says you can do this, and therefore you have God's authority backing it up. It's not something you've come up with a good idea. It's something you've been given direct authorization to do. Therefore, you know you have authority. So when we engage around the ark, and it's, you know, whether it's ARK or ARC, they're basically the same thing, which is the place where we can connect and where there is a manifestation when we connect that sees God's presence. We have to fix our focus or fix our eyes and begin to meditate in it. That's when we begin to engage our heart in the process. So when we begin to think of the name of God and meditate in the name of God, and we might sing it or listen to it, but we're focusing on it, and that's when God begins to appear. You know, it's like he does it as we set the desire of our heart towards it, and we begin to meditate in it, then we begin to engage. So then, you know, whatever takes, as we take our place, then God begins to come. So we're going to focus on the will of God for today. So what I'm going to say, and I use these things. You know, I don't just come and like I'm silent. You know, I come and say, Father, reveal your will for me today. You know, I ask him. You know, it isn't really very super spiritual. It's just like, God, what do you want me to do, basically? Right. I mean, and I would use that language. I wouldn't be saying, Father, will you reveal your will for me today? But I thought it would be very nice for you to have it all in nice language. So, yeah. So, Father, my desire is to come into agreement and to resonate and be in harmony with your will today. It's like, I mean, you just present this to him. You're talking and you're actually sharing, look, this is why I'm here. And then that focuses you on it. You know, my food is to do your will, Father. So I choose to take that manna into my heart as my source of supply for today. So I'm activating this stuff. You know, I know I didn't go all through that in the exercise because I just want you to find your own way and do your own stuff. But sometimes it just helps. Well, you know, is there something you do or how you do it? Well, this is how I do it. You know, Father, I open my heart to you. Please write your desires on my heart. You know, Father, unveil the revelation of my destiny, that the desires of my heart will draw me towards it, so I will see your purpose around me. Because that's what I want. I want to look around the world and I just want to see what God's doing.
Come on, yeah.
So I can just go with that and flow with it. Because I recognize where his purposes align with my purposes, then I'm authorized to act. If I see things that aren't in alignment with my destiny, then I don't have to act. Even if I see them. Unless he specifically tells me. That's why I only have to do what I see the Father doing in alignment with me, not alignment with anybody else. So people ask me to do things all the time, and I just say no. And I feel no guilt or anything. And I don't get manipulated by anybody, because basically, if it's not what God wants me to do, then I'm not going to do it. Why would I? You know, and I will say it in a nice way. You know, usually, yeah, you know, dress it up. Yes, look, I'm really sorry, I just can't because God says no. So, then take it up with him if you've got a problem. So then it's like, Father, I surrender my day to align my will with your will. Now, sometimes I have specific things. For me, I am really ordered in, I have scheduled things. You know, I have 3, sometimes 4 scheduled hangouts with people all over the world every day. So I'm pretty much, I know what I'm going to be doing for most of my day. So I want specifics. So I will bring, okay, I'm bringing the Northwest group to you today. You know, show me what you want me to do. Give me any specific revelation that I need to know. So then when all the questions come, that most of the time I would have no clue of how to answer them, basically I'm connected with heaven to the wisdom of God, and so I give answers not out of my head. You know, because if I had to think, you know, if I had to say, wait and think about all the answers, I'd never actually get any done because I get so many questions. So I just respond. You know, and sometimes I say, I don't know. And then I'll draw out of heaven and give an answer because I don't know cognitively, but I'm connected to a source that does know, you know, who knows everything, you know, and that actually source is in me and I'm in him. So I've got pretty much access to anything. No, what I don't do is, as I shared before, I won't tell people interpretation of things very often unless I'm given direction, because I don't want people to become dependent on me. I want to point people to God. So, you know, what's this dream? Well, actually, what do you think it is? Let's go and ask God. Ask God to show you what it is. You'll build your relationship by asking him. So specific things, I bring those specific things and just ask him for anything I really need to know. And sometimes I need authorization to do certain things. You know, as I said before, I've done a few things without it and sort of wrecked a few people in a nice way. You know, one person, I don't think it was Bracey actually, she actually said, it's like, it was 3 days before I recovered. So I'm really sorry. With a smile.
When you're doing...
Yeah, but for Bracey, that's good.
Yeah. When you're waiting for that answer or whatever, because are you just sitting in a place of expectancy for it because you know that it'll come? Like, kind of like if you're waiting for a word or something?
Oh, yeah. Well, in a sense, what I'm actually doing when I'm coming into the presence of God, I'm asking him for wisdom in advance. So anything that I need to know, I'm expecting him to give me the revelation for what I'm supposed to do. And so sometimes I'll answer the question with a different answer than people were probably expecting, because that's what God wants me to say. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it will point into something that's in someone's life, that something's going on that they didn't know that they were asking. But I answer from what the revelation that God wants me to say rather than what they want to hear. So sometimes, you know, that's what I do. And I think back and say, well, that didn't really answer what they said, but it was exactly what God wanted me to say. You know, what I don't do is go into it with an agenda.
Yeah.
You know, I have no agenda in all the hangouts I do, because I want to serve and help people where they are rather than get over some message. Now, sometimes I'm full of something and it's like, whoa, and it's like comes out. But generally, I just want to respond and help, you know. So, you know, as I focus on being in him, in his name and in his authority, I'm really wanting to see from that perspective. So then when I go deeper into it and I look into him and I begin to focus on his name, I'm looking for the alignment with one of the 4 faces of God or more of them. And sometimes then I'm looking for, okay, what is the bigger picture here? Because obviously I'm doing specific things each day, but I'm also responsible for a lot of stuff that's going on around the world that I really need to understand okay, is there something I need to be doing that affects this place, that place? Like, you know, when I was coming over here, you know, I spent a month or so doing things in the atmosphere and doing things, you know, in the realm of heaven to prepare for it, you know, as much as you can. So I was decreeing things, declaring things, sending angels out, looking in the spirit, sending out calls for people to resonate with, doing all those things. Well, this is where I get that stuff. I look in and see from his perspective. So sometimes it's like I engage with the eagle and I just soar and see things. I see big pictures and I see things moving and that type of thing in this place, because I'm just looking for, okay, I want to see in your position, your perspective. Show me your perspective on everything around my life. In all my spheres of government, what is your perspective? Is anything out of order? Okay, I need to bring that kingly perspective into it and realign it. Because sometimes I can get out of sync, you know? So I want to make sure I'm in sync and I look. Now, often I'm very sensitive to that because of lack of peace or stuff, and it's like I'll go and deal with it because I'm aware. So, you know, I'm stepping into his name so I can see myself in him. And then, Father, I choose to step into you. I look out from at my day and my circumstances from your heavenly perspective, because that's what I'm wanting to do. So I'm looking, okay, I want to see what you see. Because I'm in him, I can see what he sees. And he sees from four different perspectives. So I can see from those perspectives, you know, as I'm led. You know, my spirit will draw me to the lion or the eagle or the prophet, the ox sometimes. But generally, I get sort of between usually a couple of them, but sometimes, you know, I even seen the perspective of the man sometimes, but not very often. My wife sees from that perspective most times. Yeah.
Yeah, what would the perspective of the man be? Would that be like the compassion or?
Well, it's a priestly function in one sense, but the lion, the ox, and the eagle are the governmental perspective, and you always need agreement between heaven and earth so that heaven and earth agree, and you're looking for the priestly thing to agree. So, yeah, often it is that more seeing the people perspective and seeing, here's all this wonderful heavenly government, but what does it look like from the perspective of what does it look like on the ground? And so sometimes you see through that and you see, oh, there's 15 people here that are in this, or there's this. And you start to see, this is the heavenly, but this is how the heavenly needs to be outworked. And so when we do this from a church perspective, our bench of three operates lion, ox, eagle, and our seven represents the priestly function of the man, and we're always looking to be in agreement. Now, often in the past, we haven't been in agreement because we're there looking at it very much, you know, before we sort of started to get into this stuff and help them, they were looking at it often from very mercy gift. Oh, people got problems. We need to put out this fire. We need to do this. We need to do that. It's like you chase your tail all the time trying to sort out people's problems. No, go into heaven and find out what the big problem is. Administrate the big problem. So we're always teaching them to look at it from a heavenly governmental perspective so that they can bring that perspective into the earthly. So we're in agreement, heaven and earth. And we have the angel of the house, which is the representation between the two, who carries the apostolic view, but actually carries the priestly heart and then makes sure that they keep on track. So we have a blueprint that they're responsible for administering on the ground, and they need to keep their eyes on the fact of, does this fit into the blueprint or not? You know, where are we within this? You know, are we seeing people find their destiny? How do we do that? So it's a way of helping them to do that. So the priestly function very often is that side of things, you know. So that's why very often I don't see from that perspective, because I've got a whole bunch of other people who are supposed to. So I'm free, you know, just to see from my perspective that God gives me, you know. And then I've got a couple of other people who work with me in the bench, and they often bring the ox perspective and the kingly perspective. I just bring the apostolic. So I like bring big pictures and, wow, I can see this. And they're like, wow, yeah, that fits in with here. And I saw this prophetically. And then guys saying, yeah, and we need to administer it like this. And we need godly order into this. And we work really well together. And you may not have three people that work together who have those gifts, But actually, God will give you what you need as a three. So sometimes one person will bring kingly, next time they may bring the prophetic, next time they may bring the apostolic. So I look out through the lion's eyes to, or the ox or the eagle or the man, to see things, and then I begin to be able to administer them from the kingly or prophetic perspective. So that function. So this is all about function. It's all about how you function, how you govern, how you rule. And so you need to be able to see things from God's perspective to bring his rule. Because it's not my rule that I'm looking to bring, it's his. So I need to align it with his rule so that then I can then do it as a son on his behalf, because I have his power of attorney in his name. So I speak kingly order into my life. Sometimes I actually speak order into my life when it's not in order. And so when everything's sort of going on, I speak order. You know, and I clear things out the way, and I speak things to bring things back into peace and rest. You know, because sometimes it's like there's a lot of stuff going on. I must be at rest. If I'm not at rest, then I'm going to be striving. And therefore, I'll try and figure things out if I'm not at rest. So if I sense things aren't at rest, A, I will go and make sure that God is on the seat of rest in my life and make sure that that's happening. But B, I will then begin to order rest and direct it. You know, I prophesy. You know, I call things that I've seen into existence. You know, I speak them out. I declare them and decree them, and I speak it through the function of the ox. So in that prophetic function, I speak through that. You know, and I do this more to my own life and my own circles of influence. I do this less when I'm together on a bench, because like, someone else does a lot of that. You know, we see, you know, essentially we step into heaven together, we do things, we bring everything back out, and then we share, and it's like, oh, right, now we can see the big picture. In my own life, I can see the big picture. In this situation, I'm not supposed to see all the picture, because actually I'm in interdependent relationship with the other two, and we submit to one another. So, you know, I really want to hear what the dreams and prophetic perspective is that fits in with the apostolic perspective I'm bringing. And I really want to hear, hey, we're going to do this, you know, because the other guy is really coming with things. So when we come in, we get these perspectives and we bring them together, and it really works. You know, I mean, for someone who's had to minister on my own for years and years and years, this is just wonderful, I tell you. You know, and I have seven people who are doing that. Then there are seven mountains of authority that I'm not allowed on at all. It's awesome. Yeah. You know, and each one of them has got a bench on it now. Took, as I said, you know, earlier on in the week, you know, it took me, I saw that in 2010, started teaching it in 2011, and it was basically 2014 before we had people on those mountains. So I had to wait for 3 years without actually touching it, because I wasn't allowed on it, you know. But I did prepare quite a lot for it and call those people into place and pleaded with God sometimes, God, release them, you know. Yeah. But now they're doing it, not doing it my way, doing it their way. They got their own blueprints. I don't need to get a blueprint for our mountains. They've got it. All I needed to do was say, hey, we've got seven mountains, here they are. Who feels called to them, you know? And now they're functioning, and it's amazing. You know, they're bringing decrees and declarations, and they're making legislations. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. You know, because I used to do it all, you know. And I think, how on earth did I do all that? Well, because I wasn't doing a load of other things, you know, that I should have been doing. So now it's in a great place. So, you know, I decree the vision. You know, I decree my destiny and what God has said. You know, I decree it out to create it. So I'm framing it with my words, because I'm breathing out life into my circle of life, my circumstances, to bring the rule of God and government of God in them. You know, now, you know, this is very much instinctive. I'm telling you sort of how I built this up, so that you can use this to help yourselves do the same thing. Find your own way, find your own language, find what works for you, but it will be the principles that work as you look to establish them. So, you know, I look back into what was, you know, I look back into what was your desire in eternity. So I'm looking for God's desire. I can look at that from my own life. I can look at that for each of the mountains. So, you know, I look back to where there was no sin and I ask, show me what I look like and what I feel like from that perspective. I'm really looking for clarity of where I'm not distorted by anything. Because, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm still working through stuff. God still shows me things. My DNA is still getting transformed. I'm working through becoming more like him and conform to his image. So I know that if I'm looking at it from my perspective, that it won't be clear. But if I look at it from his, then I'm in a place where the clarity can come. You know, and it doesn't come as I would want it always. It comes as how I need it. Because he knows exactly what I need. You know, if you know the film The Matrix, it's like you went to see the Oracle and she told you what you needed to know, not what you wanted to know. You know, and actually God knows what I need and I'm looking for him to reveal what I need. So in the past, my soul would have been needing to know. Now my soul is much more in a place of submission. It doesn't need to know. I just need to have revelation. So I said, let me see, hear, feel, perceive the vast sum of your thoughts about me. I really want to know what God thinks about me. And if there's a vast sum of thoughts, I'm not going to get them all in one go. So he releases them to me. And it's always what I need at that point. Now, some of the things he said to me have been answers to things that have been things going on in my life, where he's just said something. It's just been like, oh, I really needed to hear that. You know, that actually gives me confidence and changes how I think. So I do this for each thing that I carry in my heart. You can only administer in authority that which you carry in your heart. If you don't carry your mountains or you don't carry people or you don't carry those things in your heart, then it doesn't work. So you have to get things in your heart. You know, you have to, you know, it's like family. Oh, I've got authority in my family. Well, I go to my mountain and I just order them to do what they should do. It doesn't work that way. You know, you have to carry the desire of God in your heart for them. Not your desire for them, God's desire for them. So you can take people into your heart and you can step into heaven and you can bring them with you. Because then you're bringing them into the presence of God. And they may have no idea what you're doing, but it doesn't really matter because it's about your heart towards them that will help them to receive God's heart. So you have to carry things in your heart. So, you know, I'm asking all the time, reveal your desires for me. Reveal what is written on my scroll for today. Father, I look at what was to manifest that into what is today to transform what will be. You know, I'm just always looking to bring his heart into my day so that I will live out that, then my future will always be according to that. If I don't know what it is, then I'm going to drift. It's like, well, it'll just happen. I don't really want things just to be happening around my life. I actually want the things to be going on around my life that are God's purpose for that. And if the enemy intrudes into that, I'm really aware. And he doesn't stay there very long. You know? And, you know, some people sort of have a lot of problem with the enemy. You know, I don't have hardly any problem with the enemy anymore. Because he knows better. You know, because he's had a few whippings in the past when you take him into the presence of God and God deals with him. You know? And, you know, therefore, you know, a lot of people have stuff, you know, people projecting in their rooms and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't ever get any of that. No one would dare project into my room. You know, they really wouldn't, because I know the authority I have to deal with them. You know, so they don't do it. You know, so because that comes because I'm clear in my identity and I know who I am. And they know that I know who I am. Because if I don't know who I am, they know that also. And that's when they do what they do. So if you know who you are, then you know you will have all authority over all of that and they're under your feet. Amen. And they stay there by and large. You know, until you go to another level, then you need to deal with another devil. You know, so there are things at levels that you go to that you deal with those, you clear that, and then you're at a higher level of authority. But it does work out. So I will say, you know, what does my life, and that might be something on my mountain, one of the seven mountains, something in the church, something in a group I'm working with, what does it look like before in the beginning? I want to see what this area looks like. You know, what is God's intention and purpose for it? So I bring some specifics to him and ask him to show me as I go. I don't just sort of, well, I'm going to drift into eternity and just hope I see something. You know, it's like sometimes it's just cool just to hang out. But I'm coming for government, not to hang out. I'll chill out with God in my own garden or in his. You know, this is a governmental issue, so I'm really looking for my identity in governmental position of authority, which is all about the things that I'm responsible for. What do they look like so that I can administrate them? Now, I know some of it sort of sounds, oh, that's all a bit sort of cold and calculated. Well, that's what government is. You need to rule. It's the kingdom. It's God's rule. God wants his will worked out. So that's what we're responsible for as sons, as lords, as kings, in chancellorship, whatever roles you've got, there is responsibility that comes with it and accountability that comes with it. So God holds me accountable for what I'm responsible for. That's why most people don't want responsibility, because they actually think God is going to tell them off when they get it wrong. He doesn't. He just equips you to get it right next time. There's no failures in the kingdom unless you give up. You know, essentially, there's just opportunities to pass the test. And he gives you the test to pass again and again until you pass it. You know, without any hassle with it. You know, there's no negativity with it. It's just, okay, let's have another go. Or another go, and another go. And eventually, you know, we learn. You know, and we get better at it. You know, I didn't know all this stuff when I started. God only treats you at the level of revelation you've got. But the more revelation you've got, the more responsibility you've got, and then the more accountable you become. But I love accountability because actually, I can go to God and say, actually, how did that go? You know, what did you think? You know, was there anything I can do better? Can I learn how to do this in a better way? I have no problem being reflective and asking God to give me insight and feedback. You know, because if he gives me feedback, I'm going to get the truth. Other people don't always give you the truth when you ask them. Oh, yeah, that was great. And they think it was rubbish because they're afraid actually to tell you. You know, I actually want truth. I want people to say, actually, you could have done that better. You know, I won't get offended. You know, only people who have something to be offended over get offended. If you're dead, you don't get offended. So I really don't mind when people said, well, actually, you could have done that one better. So, well, actually, help me to then. You know, some people say this, well, you could have done this better. So, well, okay, great. Tell me how. You know, if you've got a better gift in that area, then disciple me. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're better and I'm not good at something, I'm very happy for you to disciple me and help me do it. You know, so I want to do it as best as I possibly can. You know, so I come with these things. So cultivating desire in my heart is an absolute key to all this. And how do you cultivate desire? You brood and you incubate it. So when I talk about desire, let's say God shows me an area of authority, or let's say, I don't know, say one of my mountains is prophecy or something. So I want God's desire and my desire to be the best prophetic voice I could possibly be. So I begin to brood and incubate that desire. And I begin to think about it and meditate. What does a good prophet look like? You know, how do you prophesy? You know, I'll start thinking about it. So essentially, this is what I would sort of say. Father, I bring my mountain. So let's say I'm talking about a specific government to you. That which I carry in my heart, I bring it to you. Show me your perspective. So I really want him to show me his perspective on something I'm looking to desire. Because I don't want to cultivate my own desires. So I carry in my heart, that gives me authority towards something. So cultivating that desire. So I start to think about it and focus my attention on it. Now, I'll give you an example about this in the natural realm, and that will help you see it in the spiritual realm. I am very techie and very geeky and nerdy over tech stuff. And so when I first... I look at things out there and I see latest things that are coming out on the market and stuff. So I keep an eye on what's going on. So something catches my eye and I think, wow, that might be useful. So I will start to think about it, and I'll start to think about the uses it might have, how it could benefit me, how cool it would be to have it, Yeah. Oh, this is really interesting. So if it gets that level of attention, I will go and find a review on it online. And then I'll go and find a forum about it where people are answering questions about it. I'll go and download the manual so I can find exactly what it does. Now, all this is cultivating desire. Because I'm now, wow, that really would be useful. That would be really useful. That 55-inch curved 4K widescreen TV would be really useful. Because that was the last thing I actually cultivated enough desire to go and buy. My wife knows when I'm cultivating desire. Because she knows I keep looking at these things. And I'm, what are you looking at? Oh, it's just a forum. What are you reading? Oh, it's just a manual. And so in doing this, I'm actually creating within me the desire for it. And, you know, it might get to the point where, well, that would be nice, to the point where I need it. Yeah. And once I've cultivated that desire, I will be willing to pay the cost to get it. Because it always costs something. It always costs something. No matter what it is you're cultivating, there will be a cost. So if it's a prophetic gift, the cost may be spending the time with God to develop that gift, talking to other people with prophetic gifts, reading books about prophetic stuff, you know, engaging God around the prophetic. It will always be something that you have to give into so that you receive back from. So when I get to the point where I absolutely need this because I can't do without it, because my life wouldn't be the same if I didn't have this thing, then I will find the money to go and buy it. You know, if it's like, I'm going to save the next 10 Christmases to buy this, so I'll get all my 10 Christmas presents in advance, please. Yeah. Or, God, will you send me an offering from the sky to buy it? Anyway, it's like, whatever it is, essentially, it'll come to a point where I'm willing to buy it. So then I'll look for the best price. You know, it's like I will skirt every single thing, find everything where I can get the best price for this thing because I want it, but I don't want to pay too much for it. You know, I want to pay what is right. So, now in that sense, that's what I would do in a natural realm. You can do that in spiritual things. Once you fix your eyes on something, you find everything out about it. You want to know about it. You want to know what it does. You want to know how useful it is. You want to know how to work it out in this, how it's going to benefit you in this. So you cultivate desire by focusing your attention on it, meditating on what would it be like. So in something with God, I'm focusing on desire for an area of government. What does this look like in the future? You know, what would this be like when it's fully functioning? You know, how good would this be to administrate this, to see these things happen on the earth and this happen and that happen? So I do that with, like, you know, before I sort of started, you know, doing these hangouts and all that stuff, I cultivated desire. Having received and overcome the obstacles of not wanting to do it because I didn't want the responsibility or the accountability, and that was the issue, you know, overcoming that, then I began to think, okay, if God is calling me to do this, what is he going to do with it? How would this benefit everyone? What would this do? And I start to picture and create an image to visualize what it will be like in God's purposes, not mine. So then it's like, wow, this would be fantastic if this would happen. So then I can begin to speak out and call those things, because they're not there yet, to exist. Because now it's in the desire of my heart. And I'll do whatever it takes to see that happen. You know, so what in the beginning was, I don't want to do this. I have not got enough time. The hours in my day are already too busy. Now it's like, I'll clear my diary and find time to do everything, no matter what it is. You know, because it's the desire of my heart. And now I will do whatever to fulfill the desires of my heart. I will sacrifice for that. And that's what we do when God's desire is in our heart. We will sacrifice anything to see that desire fulfilled. And we'll begin to outwork it. I can daydream and imagine it. You know, daydreaming is a really good thing to do. You know, just sitting there and allowing the thoughts of God around something to meditate and incubate and begin to produce life, because they will produce visions and pictures of what it's like, and then you'll have something to focus on. It's like, wow, yeah, it can look like that. Wow, amazing. Yeah, and I do that. You know, sometimes I just sit with just a glazed look. Often. Fortunately, I'm in my office and the camera's not on, so it's all right. Sometimes when I'm doing things, I actually look like that when I've gone somewhere in an activation. I'm like, wow. It's like, whoa, that was really good. You know. So literally, I'm creating an expectation and a hope, because faith is the substance of things we hope for. And hope is not wishful thinking, it's white-hot expectation. So now this is a total expectation in my heart, and faith will produce the substance to see it manifested. Because I believe. And it will come about. Because it's God's will and purpose. I just have to be willing. So, you know, I find out about it in the Word. I do all sorts of stuff naturally, you know. And then I sometimes look at other people. And it's like, oh, wow, yeah, they're really good at that. You know. But generally, I'm really just looking to God. So I want it, I need it, I must have it.
My precious.
Precious, yes, I will. Yeah, yeah. But that's what happens when you cultivate desire. You really, really, really must have it. And that means you will do whatever it takes. You know, and it will be no hardship. You know, what would have, I imagined, have been hardship now is a delight. You know, and my wife looks at my diary and she says, you must be mad. You know, and I says, no, I just love this. This is who I am. This fulfills everything about God's desire and my desire. So I'm willing, you know. So he says, well, you've not been in this week. I said, well, no, neither of you. That's what I normally say. But sometimes in 1 week, I'll have a load of things to do. And the next week, I won't. But it's okay, because it's outworking the purposes of God. So creating that desire is really important. I will do whatever it takes to have that. In a spiritual sense, there's nothing that will be too difficult, because nothing's impossible with God. You know, everything is possible, but I'm willing to pay the cost. If you have not got a desire in your heart, you will not be willing to pay the cost. You know, you won't. So creating that desire will then enable you to govern it, to administrate it, to call it into being, to serve that so that it actually brings the fruit and the glory to God. Because it's all about glory to God. You know, I'm not cultivating a desire of my heart for me. I'm doing it because it's his desire. So then he gets the pleasure out of it. He gets pleasure when we fulfill the desires of our heart. He does. He smiles. You know, he's always got a smile. He's always in a good mood. You know, he really is. You know, you need to recognize that God is always in a good mood. He's always smiling. His countenance to you is always one of love. You know. So I would say things like, Father, I choose to receive the revelation of your heart, your thoughts in my spirit, as deep calls to deep, because I'm looking for deep to call to deep, the deep things of God to call the deep things in my spirit, which will then be planted deep into my heart, and then they will be released. So show me what it looks like. Show me what it feels like to manifest this today. Show me how this will outwork and help me fulfill my destiny. You know, I want to be dependent on God, not just doing things on my own. So I choose to brood over these things. I incubate it in my heart. Father, let the desires of my heart become fulfilled as a tree of life. Because hope fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, the heart, from the heart flow the springs of life. So we must have the desires of our heart in a really good state, because life flows out of it. That's where life goes when we're having a tree of life, everything fulfilled. So, you know, I look into the end from the beginning. What does the journey look like? You know, because there's the beginning, there's the end. How do I get from there to there? I just walk it out. I want that revealed so I can declare it and call it forth. I chart my own path, you know. And it's like, you can only do that when you have those desires in your heart like that. And you know that you know that you know that's God's will and purpose. That's his destiny for you. Then you can begin to chart that course and call it forth. You know, if there are obstacles in the way, you shift them. You know, if there are mountains, move them. You know, sometimes you climb them. because they help you grow and overcome them. Yeah. But that's really what it's like. So what does the next year look like? That's what, I mean, I say that, you know, usually from June onwards in the year, I was, what's next year look like? Because I'm already starting to cultivate what next year would look like so I can be working towards it and preparing for what it will be. You know, what does it look like from your eternal purpose? You know, my desire is to manifest your desires in, through, and around my life today. And I decree that and declare it before God, you know, so I can receive a daily mandate. You know, I can open my heart to receive that mandate today. Show me what you're doing today. Show me what I'm authorized to do today. I receive that mandate. I take it into my heart. I value it. I cherish it. I surrender it to you. You know, all these are things where I've just said over and over to God. It's just I talk to him like that. Now we're very much more in tune. So he knows and I know, and we just sort of fellowship and it sort of all flows out. But I develop that from practicing this over and over and over again until it's just my lifestyle. And that really does work. So then you have to administrate it. Once God shows you this is what he wants you to do, then you're responsible for administrating it. So I take Aaron's rod, the scepter of authority. I step onto my mountain. This is my position of government. I have a kingdom mandate to administrate that today. So I choose to frame my day in accordance with that will and purpose. I choose now to speak those things out. So I declare blessing and favor around me. I can do that because that's God's purpose for my life, to be blessed and to be favored, highly favored, in fact. So I send out my angels to go before me to prepare and align the kingdom connections in accordance with everything that in that mandate. You know, I assign things out. I don't just sort of like, oh, well, I hope it's going to happen. It's like, I know it's going to happen because it's in alignment. So, yeah, there's lots of other things there. You know, literally, in a sense, where it says we're looking to take is to do that governmental authority so that we can administer the promises of God. Everything comes out of God's promises. You know, that alignment with my destiny, your destiny, is specific for today. So each of the things that I do, I need to know how to govern it. Now, you know, I used to struggle with all the things. You know, it's like, how do I do all this? You know, it's like, you know, I'm on this bench, I'm on that bench. You know, I've got all these groups, I've got this responsibility. You want me to do all these things in the chancellor's houses. I'm supposed to do a court case over here and all that. And I'm, well, you know, and for a while I was just like, how do I do all this? You know, then it was like, okay, I need to be in a place of rest. So I go to my mountain, having done everything. Actually, I just let my spirit do it. It's like, okay, I need to declare this over here. Actually, today I don't need to do anything over there because there's no need. Over here, I can do this. I just let my spirit direct. I don't figure it out, plan it, organize it, and do it like that. That won't work for me. It's like I just need to allow my spirit to lead and direct because it's absorbed a whole load of things and now I can release them. And that's how it works. So, you know, from my mountain, I take that position. I have creative power within the words that I speak from that position of government to frame everything around me. You know, so I do frame things, which means I frame things where the enemy doesn't have access. You know, if I know the will and purpose of God, I need to know what God's promises are because I'm in covenant with him. I'm in a new covenant. All the promises of God are yes in Jesus. Therefore, those promises come through the cross. So I exchange all the old and receive all the new. Well, that's a really good deal. You know, you don't have to do anything. You just come and receive all the exchange by coming through the cross. You know, every day. So
Mike, can you expound on your definition of framing? Because framing is what you can build upon, but it also can be protection. So when you said
that, it's all that. Yeah. I mean, when you put in a frame something, it's like the frame contains the name and the purpose and what it's for. And so you are aligning it with God's purposes and destiny out of desire. So all those things just begin to shape what your day looks like to align with what God says. And so that may mean for me, okay, I need, and some of the things I do is, okay, I have to prepare this message today. I have an hour between three things to do this. So I am framing the wisdom and insight of God to give me everything I need to make this, prepare this message. Sometimes in the past, it would take me 3 or 4 days to prepare something. Sometimes I've prepared 3 or 4 things in an hour because it just flows. But I don't just assume that that's going to happen. I actually speak it out and call it forth so that the wisdom and insight and every scripture and everything I need will be there right at my hand. So I just do it. And I sit down now and type. And there it is. Because before it was like, oh, I do this. I haven't got time to do all that. So I'm looking for supernatural inspiration, wisdom, insight that enables me to do things more efficiently and more effectively so that actually things work out. That's favor and blessing. So I call for favor and blessing. I make sure that the angels are in operation around me. So anyone I need to contact that's going to be part of engagements in the kingdom, I send angels out to engage them. And then they email me when I've never met them. Because that's in alignment. Because you see, I've seen where I need to be ministering in the world. Because in December, January, you know, I had a vision and I saw arrows going to different parts of the world. So it's like, okay, so what do? I don't go and try and find out anyone to, I just send an angel out and say, okay, in that part of the world, get someone to make contact with me.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what happens. Because that's what you do in the kingdom. Because it's all in the spiritual realm, which is connected to the natural realm, and it supersedes it. So I could not do any of the things I'm doing by trying to do them. Because I don't know anyone to try and do them. I didn't, 2 years ago, I knew nobody anywhere. You know, basically. So it was like, you know, I must say I didn't really desire to know anyone anywhere at that point. But when I said, yeah, I do, it was like, okay, you need to do this. And God said, I'll open the doors if you walk through them. So great. He opens the door and I walk through him. Now I actually say, I need a door open over here. So angel, go and open this door, make the contact.
So the northwest was highlighted somehow?
Yeah.
Is it one of the arrows?
Yeah, it was, you know, I'll talk about that tomorrow when we talk about that. Yeah.
Mike, do you do that in the spirit? You call it out or do you verbally?
I call it out. In the realm of heaven, everything operates by thought. You don't need to speak out loud in the realm of heaven because it's a thought-orientated thing. You think by thought, you travel by thought because the speed of thought is faster than the speed of light. So you can be instantly at somewhere because it's connected to quantum stuff. So yeah, I think it, but here I speak it. So when I'm in this realm, I speak because the words carry a frequency and vibration in this realm, which begins to affect the realm and draws things together and moves things. So, you know, I know I'm in covenant with God. I know I have God's promises. If you don't know what they are, then you can't administer them. So you really need to know what the promises of God are. You need to know the authority you have in the covenant of God, what the new covenant does. So out of those specific mandates and authorizations, you know, I do everything that I'm called to do. So, you know, I'm looking to bring God's revelation into his heart, into my day. You know, I look back and I see what he promised Adam and Eve. He blessed them. So I'm entitled to blessing because I'm in the purposes of God that he gave them. So I'm blessed. So blessing meant the empowerment to succeed according to the mandate that they were given. So he blessed them, told them to be fruitful, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. So I'm entitled to all those things in my sphere of government, to fill it, subdue it, have dominion over it. That is my entitlement as a son of God in God's plan and purpose. So I have a very clear mandate of being a son and a child of God, so I can administrate all those things. I can administer fruitfulness, filling something, subduing it, and having dominion. Because that is what I'm called to do as a son of God. So I have no doubt about any of those things, so I'm confident in it. So that means that that's a promise that belongs to me. I'm in that covenant, so I can do all those things. Now, you know, I didn't know any of that stuff before, so it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do it? So I try and figure it all out. I don't need to figure anything out. I just need to know that I can do all that and he will give me whatever I need to do it. So I can declare and call things that be not in the natural realm according to what God's purpose is in the spiritual realm so that natural realm will align. And that means, I mean, I do very specific things on that, you know, right to aligning traffic lights so I can get through them. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, because you have authority over that sort of stuff, you know. You know, so if God speaks creatively, then I speak creatively, and that's what faith produces. It manifests the substance of that stuff which is spiritual into the natural realm. Faith is the substance. It's a substance which is spiritual substance. We need to see it manifested as physical substance. And that's how we do it. So, in a sense, you know, I'm putting hope in God's promises, and that hope is an anchor. I have security in the promises. I can align with his person, his character, his nature. There's a lot of stuff here. All the names of God become my inheritance. So he's my righteousness. He's my provider. He's my healer. He's my banner of victory. He's my peace. He's there for me. All those things are mine because I'm in him. So they are promises which I live and experience all the time. You know, he's my sanctifier. So anything I need to be transformed, I'm in him. He's the Lord of hosts. So all his angel armies are available to me. You know, each of those names carries with it a promise, and I'm in relationship with that promise in covenant, so it belongs to me. So, and I demand on those promises. So, you know, I have a deal with God. I seek first his kingdom, and he does everything else. Because I haven't got time to do an awful lot of things that other people do. So if stuff starts coming up around the house or things start going wrong, it's like, God, you need to sort it out. Because I haven't got time. You know, if you want me to do this, I can't do that as well. Or if you need to be there, you need to give me the time to do that. You know, so I had a problem with the car a while ago. It was the exhaust was rattling. And it's like, okay, what do I do? So my immediate thought was, I need to book it in the garage. And I thought, no, I don't. I'm going to tell it to stop rattling. So I did. It stopped rattling, you know. You know, it was rattling for 2 weeks and annoying me. And then it was like, you know, I suppose it'll better sort it out. But actually God said, no, you just need to tell it. And so I did. And it stopped. You know, and I do things that like that all the time. You know, I have an expectation that he will do his stuff if I do his. You know, if I do what he's calling me to do, then he has to do the other stuff that he's promised, which means to do everything else. You know, so there are things that people do that I don't do, but they still get done. You know, and sometimes God will send other people to do things. You know, some, you know, I have no problem when someone says, oh, can I do this for you? Yeah, great. Thank you very much. You know? No, it's not that I don't do anything, but I do things in order, you know, and I have priorities, you know, and certain things are very low on the priority because they come very low before doing God stuff, you know, but when sometimes it comes to those things, then I get around and do some of them, and some of them, they just do. Things happen, you know. So in all this stuff, I live in a place of rest based on those promises. You know, I don't need any provider other than God. So in terms of finances and everything else, you know, I don't ask for anything for any of these things. You know, no one has to pay for me to come. It's like, if God wants me to come, then he'll pay. You know, he'll provide. So, you know, I don't want people to buy my flights and all that stuff, because that's not what it's about. It's not about coming to make money. It's about coming to serve the purposes of God. So if people give an offering, that's great. If they don't, no problem. It's like, I'm not in it for that, because God's my provider. You know, his provision will be seen regardless, so I just need to do what he says and he'll provide everything I need. So, you know, so I'm really simple in these things. If God says yes, then it's yes. You know, and then we'll sort it all out. You know, so it's no real problem. But so I live in that place of rest. So, you know, I can speak out of that place knowing that all these things are part of my relationship and in my inheritance. You know, if I have to subdue something, if I have to be fruitful and multiply something, you know, I know how to do that. It's really easy. It's not difficult subduing something when you know you're in a place of authority above it and it's under you. It's only when it's on a par with you and you look at it and think, oh, how do I solve that? You know, and I didn't get here overnight. You know, it took me time to develop all these things. You know, along the way, I've had the same struggles that everyone else has, and you have to work things through and you have to grow and you have to mature and you have to overcome. You know, all that is very practical. You know, so in these things, the promises of God are really key. So John 10:10, the enemy wants to kill, rob and destroy, but God wants to bring me abundant life. So who am I going to believe? I want the abundance. That's my inheritance. So The enemy has no authority to rob, kill, and destroy, because basically I live in abundance. God's blessing. He's empowered me to succeed in the things that he's called me to do. He's not empowered me to exceed in the things he's not called me to do. You know, so if there's opposition, it's really easy to deal with it when you're in the realm of heaven. Because if it's something that's legal, you go and deal with a legal issue. If it's something that's not legal, you just stop it. You know, it isn't that difficult, but you do need to know your position of authority. You need to know your identity. You know, you need to know that you're a son. You know, if you've got a slave mentality in any way, this stuff doesn't work. You know, because you'll be doing it from the wrong motive as a slave. You know, and you know, you can't go onto a mountain and parrot the word. You can speak the word with authority. You can't just, well, I'm going to speak the scripture because I hope it works. You know, because it won't. Sometimes it will, because God's very gracious. And when we're learning, he has a lot of grace in these things. When we're mature, you know, I used to ask God to do all sorts of things. And now he says, do it yourself. And now I don't even ask him, because I know that he's called me to do it. You know, and that grows. You know, we mature. You know, we start off all the same. We're all children. We're all born again into that state, and we have to grow and mature. You know, and God does things for children that he won't do for adults. You know, very happily he'll do things. We did that for our children. You know, we cleaned their nappies. We fed them. We cleaned up after them. All the messes they made. Yeah, we loved them. You know, we helped them to walk. They fell over. We picked them up. We helped them walk again. You know, the first time that your toddler was going to walk and they fell over, you didn't sort of say, you stupid idiot, you should be able to walk. You know, you pick them up and you say, oh, have another go. And you hold your hands out and you encourage them. God does that with us. You know, he's not going to hold you accountable for things as an adult when you're a child. But when you're an adult and you're acting like a child, then he's not that pleased, you know. So know the truth. And I say, you can't just assume. You have to know. And you know by cultivating in your desire of your heart and all those things. So there's, you know, lots of other stuff there, I think, that we can do it. You know, all this stuff now is in me. You know, it's embedded in me. It's part of me. You know, I know the truth because the truth has set me free and I live in it. So, you know, I got a lot of stuff here, which I'm not really sure what is there. But we'll leave it there. And it takes practice, you know. It might sound very easy from where I'm coming from, but I've spent years and years practicing. Now it's normal and it's my life, but it wasn't so in the past. You know, most of this stuff has come about in 5 years, you know, since I engaged heaven, you know, and you can do a lot in 5 years. You know, I've learned more in the last year than in the previous 4 years, and that was more than the rest of my whole life I learned in those 4 years. So revelation is increasing if we're willing to pursue it and engage in relationship.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit us on our website, freedomtrust.org.uk, where you'll find a whole range of resources. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and lead others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? If so, check out our Engaging God program. Join a worldwide community of pioneers. Learn how to access God in the realms of heaven and take up your responsibility as a son in his kingdom. Freedom Apostolic Resources. We're here to help you find and fulfill your destiny.